Hey there. Welcome to Cageless, a conversation podcast about experiential wisdom and personal hope. I'm Jenny Johnson. I'm a writer, and I'm asking experts, thought leaders, and my friends to share their knowledge and tools on how they found freedom.
Super.
Cool.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
What an exciting day that we have today. It's so hot, and my guest and I are actually both in the same state for the first time in a while. It's January, and this is Mr. Jefferson. Hi, Jefferson. How are you?
Hey, Jenny. What's going on?
We are so excited to have you today. I say we collectively, the Cageless Collective, everyone on the internet, are super pumped. So Jefferson and I met, just like a little bit of background, on the magical world of TikTok, as me and a lot of my, I feel like I'm like on the the like land of misfits toys a little bit, like me and all of my friends, because we're all from different places and we all kind of just share collective common interest. And yeah, so today Jefferson is actually, we were just talking a little bit before the show, my very first guest that's really more in the like business world rather than the like creative mental health world. But he kind of rebutted that with like, actually, I kind of feel like I'm more creative now. So Jefferson, if you can just give us a background, like a 60,000 foot view of who you are.
Sure. Go ahead. Absolutely. And first of all, Jenny, I think what you're doing is awesome. You have an awesome message. I mean, there's a reason why we were able to connect, I think really in the comments of the platform of like, hey, great video. Hey, great video. And it's hard to connect to people because it's so big. It's just a big void of content that's out there. And then turns out when you reached out to do the podcast and finding that you're here in Texas, I was like, yeah, gotta say hi. But I'm an attorney. So I graduated from college, then went on to law school and got a law degree. And that's what I did. It made a lot of sense because I think I'm like fifth generation attorney. It's just, it's osmosis. I just kind of had it in my brain. But I have a lot of a side of my family that is very creative. So arts, music, big passion on a certain side of the family. And somehow, some way, I'm kind of a blend of that. And so though I had a hearing today, had a hearing this morning.
He's wearing a tie,
suit and tie and doing all of that. I really see in a different world, I would be like a brand designer. I would be doing graphics. I would be doing just total concept in marketing. I went to school for marketing, but I really appreciate like the value of time of the creative. So I'm pumped to be here. And yeah, even though I look like a guy who's, you know, probably somebody's dad and is complaining about, you know, I don't know how much you spent on
like
some
car insurance or something.
Yeah. I'm looking to try to get you good rates for something. I really love like digging into Adobe Illustrator. I like finding new songs on SoundCloud. I like, you know, you name it, any kind of design. I love logos and brand. That's kind of my thing.
That's so funny because like I say, like we look at you and you're like, oh my gosh, you look like the most like granola white guy ever.
Right.
But then like you start to watch some of your videos, which anyone who's listening to this, please immediately go watch some of his videos. I will have his TikTok linked in the show notes. But I have found that like you saying that like you have a background in marketing and like creativity, mm-hmm. that, you know, the left brain, right brain parts of us so often whenever we want to like split them up, they really just want to come back together because mm-hmm. like humans are these holistic beings that like everything works together. And I'm sure that you see that a lot in like the law that you practice. It's really mm-hmm. important, I think, when working with humans that you can have both. So growing up, did you kind of feel that need to like work more with like people, or because like you said that you were raised in a family that was like mm-hmm. you have to do this like one way, what were you kind of like as a kid?
Talkative. and so I'm definitely getting that like full force with my kids right now. It's come way back on me hard, but I love it. So I really just grew around storytellers. So, I mean, when you have 12 to 15 people in your family that are all attorneys and they all get together, they're all just sharing stories. And so I was the kid, I was the oldest of my line, my generation, and I would just sit in the corner and just listen and see how they capture people's attention, how they would argue. I mean, we had judges, we had DAs, and see how they dealt with people. My dad in particular, see, people will ask, like, where do you get this kind of persona or this idea of how you treat people? A lot of that comes from my dad. So he's not nearly on the creative side, but he's excellent in diplomacy and dealing with just people. Mm. And so he was the type that when I grew up and I was having issues and I would just kind of word vomit, he would go, no, that's the issue right here. You see that? That's your issue. I'm like, oh, you're right. And so every time I would do something, he'd go, why don't you need backtrack with a question and make me think about it more. And a lot of that I get from him. On the creative side, I was like, I took the drums. So, I mean, I had like the long emo hair, like double bass. Like I had the whole, lots of bands in high school and college.
Shocking.
And I loved art. I loved drawing. I loved music. I loved songwriting. So that was really, I thought I was going to do music in college. And then when law just became more of a presence in my life, I went into a law firm. I did that. And I definitely felt like I was running with a parachute. Like I didn't feel like I was really living up to what I felt like I could do. And then when I went off on my own this past year, it was just, I mean, it was off since then. So that's mm-hmm. kind of how it's been.
So why did you start making TikToks? How did you get from that? Because I think especially with men that I have spoken to, it has mm-hmm. been, because a lot of the time, you know, you think, oh, girls like make videos and like they take pictures a lot. And guys are just right. kind of like, I don't know. I feel like the information that you guys relay is so much more. I would just rather listen to it that way, because I guess because I'm like, this had to have been a conscious decision that I'm going to start sharing what I know or what I think. So like, what was the first TikTok that you made? And like, why did you make it?
Ooh, well, I really started this whole journey. Like my first Instagram post that I did was at the end of January of last year.
What?
And yeah.
That's crazy.
And it is wild. And I mean, I had ones previously, but it was just like when Instagram first came out of like, mm-hmm. you take a picture of like a coffee mug or something, like, hey, getting coffee. Mm-hmm. And I didn't touch it for a good long time. So I scrapped it and decided when I was going off on my own with my own law firm, I need to have some kind of presence. And I wanted to share, like, maybe people are out there and interested in how I'm building my law firm or how I do my day to day. I don't know. So I just started creating videos that were pretty dumb. I mean, they're not bad. It was just, I was trying to figure out like how the app worked. And then I had a friend who said, you need to do TikTok. And I was like, what's TikTok? This was end of February. I'm like, I don't know what TikTok is. Is that weird thing? And I had no clue. So I just started duplicating videos from Instagram to TikTok. And I got no views, Jenny. I got like zero. I was like, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
and I couldn't figure it out. So I did some digging really myself. I'm like, what kind of value could I give to people, just the normal everyday people? Like, why would they care? Because so many attorneys, especially in my line of business, are like, have you been injured? Call me now. 888-88. It's just selling.
Better call Saul.
Yeah. It's always selling just for everything, but there's no real value that you're giving to people for free. So I thought, well, what do people like about attorneys? One of the biggest comments I get is I meet somebody and they're like, oh, well, you can probably argue really good. Or I bet, you know, you handle arguments and conflict, which is true, but it's kind of like a thing for attorneys. And so I just mm-hmm. made a video, how to argue like a lawyer, part one. And then I just decided 1, 2, 3, and it took off. And so I just made another and another. And then the fourth one hit like, I don't know, some 4 or 6 million views. And
yeah,
that was it. So that's what I got.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how, going back to what you said of like, you want to add value to the world and like value to like, what can other people be learning from something that I already know? Right. Where did you get that, like, I guess, moral compass in you? Because I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. The stigma that I have in my head is that like lawyers are like slimy, or like they're known to be like very untrustworthy people. Like, you starting an account that's wanting to help other people free of charge. Like, where did that come from?
Well, you're right. And slimy is actually a very polite term, for ones I've heard in the past.
For anyone who's watched Breaking Bad.
And so it really stems from what's true to me, and like, what's the point of living if you're not helping people? Like, whether they pay me in money or pay me in, you know, like, I have a neighbor who just paid me in literally lemons from her tree. Like, cool, awesome, let's do it. So some of that's just my personal values, and some I've inherited, and others are just books that I've read. And what's like, what's the best way to get a message out there that, hey, I'm not like your typical attorney. I'm not the slime ball. Let me show you that there are others out there that are just regular people. And so I just try to come up with what kind of value I could give to them. And it just took off. And then Instagram took off even crazier, and it provided opportunities I would have never ever thought that could happen, especially in ones I make like in my car.
Yeah.
Just never know.
Isn't that insane? Like, it's a really cool world that we get to live in, that like, I formally studied media. I worked in Hollywood, and it's like, I make so much more supplemental value to the world because of videos that I make walking my dog, rather than like being on set somewhere, or, you know, like we've said, like talking about money. Like, the world is transactional with like how much we help each other and like the information that we can provide. So,
they'll find you. You know? Yeah. I mean, if you do the right thing and the right value, they're going to want to seek you out and get your service and find more about you. I mean, that's only natural.
Right. Yeah. So if there was like one thing that you could say to someone who does have something that they feel could be of value to other people, and they're like doing it formally. So I'm thinking of like, you know, like a small town mechanic, or like a chef, or like someone that doesn't necessarily consider themselves like a content creator. If they were starting from nothing, what would you, like, what word of encouragement would you say to them? Because you've literally grown, like, I don't know how much within, you said you started in January. That's insane.
Yeah, there's a lot of insanity in my world right now, Jenny. But what I would say to anybody, like, I was there. I know they may not believe it, but I was there. And I was by myself in January. I had just left the big law firm where I was a partner. I was by myself in coffee shops, just surfing from place to place on a laptop, right? And I just put pen to paper of like, just manifest what I wanted, right? And what I wanted my year to be like, how did I want to end it? And some of it was just taking the leap and putting yourself out there on social media, and you can do it. You really can, especially like mechanics. That's way more fun than people think it is. There are accounts on TikTok that go crazy as mechanics. And what is blowing a lot of attorney minds, and what I mean by that is like professionals who feel like they have to, like, you know, have you been injured, or, you know, come see us today. Stuff like that, where I think the general population right now, especially on social media, like, sniff out people that are too polished, like, right away. And you have these law firms that spend millions, Jenny, millions on like ads, and they couldn't pay for the kind of exposure that social media gives for those who do it well. So the biggest thing is just your phone. I got people who are like, well, who do you use for your provider and your service, and what kind of camera do you have? I'm like, look, my man, I got I do this in my car for maybe 20 minutes of my day. The only quiet place I have in my life. And that's what we do.
Like asking, I love that you said that you like manifested it and like you just like sat with yourself. And I would also add to that, how like easy can you make it on yourself? You know, because it seems like you weren't happy or you weren't feeling fulfilled and like wherever you were at your law firm. So it was like, how can I actually take away the factor that's not being helpful to me so I can be helpful to other people?
Right. And I think I also, because my personality is holistically, it's more creative than it is like analytical, right? So most of the time attorneys are seen as more analytical. And by going off my own and taking that leap of what I felt in my heart was the right thing to do. When I tell you, it was like the parachute fell off. Like I could just go at lightning speed as fast as I want and do whatever I want. Now I have gobs of notebooks, like, like I'm very particular about my notebooks and the notes that I keep and how I keep them and how I write them. And I write them as if you would think like a doodling artist, like I'm very perfectionist about them, but they've helped. When I say manifest, they've helped guide like, what's my next step? Okay, I want to do a first video that's out there and put it out there. What's it going to be? And just go with it. Don't more videos. And I bet you've seen the same thing. I get more video views on a clip that I like stumble a word on than if I do it super polished.
Right.
Just because it's more real.
Right. And like, that's the world that we live in, which I think is pretty cool. Okay. So pivoting a little bit, you say that your day-to-day life is like chaotic. So you are, you just told me 34. Yeah.
Yeah.
34. Yeah. So, family guy, married with kids. How is that going?
You just hold on. Like I think as any parent, whether you're working or not, you just hold on. I mean, kids, every kid's different. My kids are extremely high, like high energy, which I hope just means they're going to be, you know, good citizens and humans in this world. And I gladly welcome it because I know I was that way. My wife was that way. But the hardest part is I wake up and you have your dad hat on. That means breakfast, combing hair, putting on clothes, finding socks, finding shoes, running out the door. And then you're putting on your work hat. And that means your cases. And as somebody who owns a law firm, which now we have, I think, 15 people over the past year, like now it's just managing business and working in business. And then I, for a brief second, I make a video and then I go home where it's back to dad doing baths, dinner, PJs, you know, songs, prayers, everything. So it is just chaos, Jenny. It just doesn't stop. And then if you have to continue work, you do work and then you find somewhere in there to work out, meditate, sleep. So.
Yeah. Do you feel like your kid, do you think that your kids are going to know how to argue with you? Or do they already, have you already taught them things you wish you hadn't?
No, it's just like, osmosis, honestly. Like it's in the DNA. Like my son, who's 4, can negotiate with me and use techniques he just naturally will do. I'm like, dang, that was good. Like he just, the way he, everything's like a deal or a negotiation. With him.
How old is he?
He's 4.
That's terrifying.
And, I mean, it is terrifying. I'm not kidding. Like it is, there are things that he does, not things that he says, but like the way he goes about, like if he can't open one door, he's like, and then he finds a different way to approach the subject in another way. And I'm like, God, that's like, I'll tell my wife, like, did you see him? She's like, yeah, I saw that. Like that was good. And I can't even get mad because in my mind, I'm giving him props for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was pretty solid. Okay, I'll give it to you. Like, just finding, turning on TV in the evening. We try to not do any TVs. That way they're not super hyped up. Sometimes he negotiates his way into it. So
you're like, yeah, I guess we are going to turn on. Oh, I don't even know. What's it like, Paw Patrol now or something?
Paw Patrol was like, you're like 8 years.
Oh, back. Am I way back?
Yeah. Bluey is still king right now for us.
Okay. Yeah. Don't even know that one. So backtracking a little bit, when it comes mm-hmm. to, I guess, being a like lawyer in your day-to-day life, do you find yourself trying not to be a lawyer to the people that you aren't, I guess, like in practice with? So like with your kids or like with people that you meet or like your wife, are you like, mm-hmm. let me not use things that I know will be helpful because I have a background in marketing, because I have a background in law. Like, can I just like show up as a human, like this vulnerable mm-hmm. human, rather than like not the mask, but like the persona mm-hmm. that I feel like mm-hmm. so many lawyers and people mm-hmm. that work with people put on.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I would say one is a lot of comments I get is that who you're talking to now is who you're going to talk to if you called me with a legal case mm-hmm. or if you called me with, you know, going to go hang out at a mm-hmm. bar somewhere. Like you're going to get the same guy. Mm-hmm. But what I do find, and I think this hits your point, is I will have instances where I'm with friends and something is happening, maybe with a waiter or maybe within the friend group or something, that there is a flicker that makes me want to like you switch to attorney, right? Mm-hmm. Of how you address and handle a situation or where your brain's going to take off. So yeah, you do have to have like a legitimate, like intentional thought not to be that way, just to show up as who you are and not try to feel like you're needing to behave a certain way. It's like that, especially in a marriage. Mm-hmm. So she's also an attorney.
Oh totally my gosh.
Yeah.
That's totally different. Terrifying.
She does a totally different type of law. But if we get into an argument or we're dealing with an issue, like she can quickly be like, don't, you're cross-examining me, or don't think that you can back me into, like, we know if it's like, you can see the chess moves of, okay, now if you go two steps this way, you're going to back me into a corner. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, it's hard not to get into that mode. Like if I'm going to cross examine you, mm-hmm. I might pepper you with questions that are close-ended and I pretty much got you. You can't do that with friends, because then they feel like you're not Jefferson anymore.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I would pay so much money to be a fly on the wall and like one of your like you and your like wife's. Which, how do you feel about like arguing with your spouse? Do you want like more like discussions or do you want like arguments? Cause like two lawyers, mm-hmm. that's
well,
a lot.
We're very efficient, like extremely efficient.
Yeah.
Arguments do not last long.
Can you give me an example?
I'd have to think of one.
Comfortable with that.
Oh no. I mean, it would be, let's say for example, like, okay, I have my habits. She has her habits. We all, everybody has things about the other they don't like. So for example, hers may be just shoes. Like she just takes off her shoes wherever she is presently in the house. And then I'm like, I grab them, I put them up. So if I want to have an argument about leaving them out instead of just like, just go take them off in the closet. Then I'm going to raise that issue with her. She's going to rebut that of saying why she did it. And I'm going to say why I find that was unreasonable and what she could do. And she goes, okay, well, next time I'm going to do this. And what you're going to do is X, Y, and Z. I'm like, that's fair. All right. And then we're done.
I feel like that takes not just like lawyer knowledge, but like emotional intelligence or mm-hmm. like emotional respect for one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's also a lot of that, but she, everybody's personalities are very different. And I grew up in a family with my dad, mom, and I'm the oldest of four. So I'm like the old soul type of, you know, firstborn thing. But I got really good at spotting the issue. Like attorneys do that anyway. But because of my family, very good at, you could brain dump all these problems that you're having or this issue. And I got really good at just picking the issue out and just talking about that. Like, I'm not going to get worked up and emotional and all the other things you talked about, because really the issue is right here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the skill. But yeah, I think to kind of the point that you're making, there is a balance of who you are as a person. Like, I need to feel how I feel. Mm-hmm. I have difficulty in that, Jenny. I'm not great at feeling. Like, I'm not great at expressing my feelings, because I've just kind of been honed down to be extremely efficient in argument. Mm-hmm. So I can go from A to B really quickly.
Yeah.
I have a problem, I'll give you my point, and we're done. But that's not human sometimes. You need to feel all your feelings. And that's one thing I could do better, for sure.
Yeah. Well, your self-awareness is extremely emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like, as someone who is on the opposite side of the spectrum, I am hyper emotional. Like, I consider myself like extremely empathic, which has caused a lot of like friction in my relationships that I'm just like, mm-hmm. how can I feel through this? Let's like discuss what we're feeling. And it's like, actually, Jenny, you just need to get your fucking tire changed. Like, it doesn't really matter like how you got the hole or like what, like you have to get the tire changed and this is why and this is how. And yeah. It's like, yeah, but like, I don't feel. And it's like, no, you can kind of have both.
Yeah. And see, I'm a type, I think they on the personality test called the Enneagram, I'm sure you're familiar.
Oh, we know it.
So I'm a type three with like a
I knew. Wing, of course it, I knew.
Yeah, obviously with a wing two charmer. Okay.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Right? Which means like feelings to me, over emotional feelings, like are seen as a waste of time. Like if I hear somebody being overly emotional, my big problem is that I immediately tune it out. Like, I'm just like, ooh, like that's not what I just want to take it up, put in a ball, stuff it in a bag somewhere, and like, let's just keep going. So that's on me, not anybody.
That would 100% make sense for an Enneagram 3. Okay, Jefferson, thank you mm-hmm. so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Absolutely.
My last and final question for you before we wrap up is, if you could tell your younger self anything today, what would you say?
If I could tell my younger self anything.
Because you give such good advice. I'm sure you'd give some great advice to him.
I'd have to think about it, but what's off the top of my head would be is go harder, probably. Like, I would want to push even more. Like, there's this part of me that is, I could see different areas in my life in the past where I thought I needed to slow down. But I find that I excel best and I feel I'm at my best when I'm pushing it really hard, running fast. So I would say to my younger self, go for it. No breaks. Just keep going. Right? And that's
no
just,
breaks.
I feel like I'm being myself. Yeah.
That's so good. And I feel like we all kind of need the Enneagram 4. That's like, I feel like we all need the Enneagram 3s in our lives that are like, no, you can keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. No, keep going.
Well, there's
you
problems
can still
with that
going.
Too. There's definitely problems with that. And I'm very aware of them. But yeah, I would say to my younger self, I just, all gas, no brakes. That's what I'd say.
All gas, no brakes. Well, thank you, Mr. Jefferson, for being with us today. As I mentioned, I will link all of Jefferson's socials in the show notes. And guys, please go check out some of his videos. I have some of them like screenshotted for conversations that like I know that I'm going to have. And I'm like, Jefferson says that I can do this. And a lot of them have been super helpful. I have one more question. What do you feel like is your favorite video that you've put out that's like the best tidbit of knowledge? Like, you got 30 seconds to give it to me.
That is a good question. My favorite one that I've done probably is the argument flip, which it talks about like take one position that you feel super strongly about and then flip it as if you're somebody who feels just as strongly the opposite. I think most people do not do that. I think if they did, it would make them much better communicators. I think it would make them much more empathetic. And it's that concept of take whatever super polarizing, like thought that you have, you feel really strongly about, and just flip it on the back end and say that you agree with that same feeling with the opposite. And then you just begin to understand there's two sides to every argument. And most people just don't think that way. That's where cognitive dissonance comes in, where it's, you do put your wall up because you feel like your way is the only way, or you're either defending yourself or you're trying to go on the offensive of convincing somebody else, like, that they need to think how you think. So that's probably my favorite one. Usually my favorite videos don't do all that well.
Right.
But I still like them. Yeah.
I feel that. Well, and that's what's important, is that you create what you want to create.
Yeah. Whether or not I had, I still made videos when there were only two people watching and still meant just them, send them out to me. So
yes.
I still do it anyway.
Yes. Well, we appreciate you and thank you for contributing your knowledge to the betterment of the world. We love you guys. We're so excited to connect with you. Shoot us messages. As I mentioned, our socials will be in the show notes, and we will see you next time on Cageless. Thank you so much for listening to that super fun episode today with Jefferson. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you. And if you want to check out any more of Cageless's episodes, you can head over to www.thejennyjohnson.com or switch on over to TikTok at @thejennyjohnson. I just put out a journal. This is a future self journal, super important, as we both mentioned, to write out your dreams and write out things that you want to know about yourself, things that you want to unknow about yourself. So the future self template is over on my TikTok. It's helped me so much as a person, as a content creator, and just overall better human being. I hope that I see you over on the internet.